Let's Play. It's not a failed NBA 2K Let's Play. It's going to be something, but it's with me, Leftos, and with my almost best friend, but half a world away, John.
I'm glad that I can at least be almost best
friend. Yeah, I have two friends that would be really pissed if I just named you best friend. Then again, they'd never listen to it. So here's my best friend, John.
Hey!
And what we're doing, although you have no idea because you can't see because this is not the only thing, we're both playing the just released Trials Beta.
You know what? You're gonna it's gonna piss you off, but I just beat it, and I just got 18 platinum medals.
Yeah, so I'm playing the Trials Beta, and John has just fucking finished the game in half a day. not half a day. It's been 4.5 hours since the beta has started.
Yeah, and I'm gonna keep playing though.
Already beaten it.
This is what I do. This is what I play every day when I need to relax. Play Trials. I don't fall.
What do you love, John?
I like Trials.
Ah, okay. You don't love them. Love is a strong word.
Oh, man. I don't fall. And I'm sure at some point I'm going to have some Let's Plays of Trials up, so go subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Yeah. He will. I just, you know what I want you to do?
What do you want me to do?
I don't want you to do, random Let's Plays where you're just playing tracks and complaining about how much your elbow hurts. I want you to do tutorial videos of the hardest tracks.
You know what that's called? Finding my name in the leaderboards, and then it shows you the...
It's going to have, more context if you're talking over it.
I know. We'll see. We'll do it.
I was...
Just as this is an NBA NLSC podcast, my subscriber base is mostly basketball-based, and they do not care for non-basketball-themed things.
And we don't care that they don't care.
I know. I upload whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
Here's a Sims video.
What?
Here's a Sims video. Jeff, why are you uploading this? I want to see more basketball. Yeah, well, because F you, that's why.
Yeah, pretty much. I have been pestering John for us to do a farming simulation co-op Let's Play, but he won't do it for whatever reason.
Nope.
He's a snob that only plays Minecraft and NBA games and Trials.
I like Trials. Oh, man. It has been so long since we've done a podcast. What's the last one? I got to piss like no one's business?
That was an early one. That wasn't the last one.
It wasn't the last one?
No.
It's been so long.
Yeah, I think the last one we did together was number 6 of the official NLC podcast. But for people that don't know that, don't check your YouTube channel and just check out whatever the NLC podcast is. We have done stuff together that's been up on the internet since. We have done, I definitely remember, two developer diaries on the Pro Wrestling X editor.
Yeah.
How we created it. The second one got cut off for whatever reason. I guess too much awesomeness. And Twitch.tv couldn't take it. And what else did we do together? At least the stuff we can say we did together.
You know, I meant to tell you about that thing that allegedly got cut off by Twitch. I figured out what happened with that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I went back and watched the end of the footage, and you can see me clicking stuff, and I accidentally closed the streaming software.
I'm biting my lip. I'm trying to hold back my words.
Yeah, that was my fault.
You're a fucking idiot! They shouldn't be shouting.
I was so tired. That was after a 12-hour shift.
Yeah, and but you weren't. You still had energy to do Pro Wrestling X editor.
Well, to watch you program it.
Ah, okay, yeah. That's pretty much what happened. Well, yeah, but we have... I remember that the NLC podcast took a long hiatus after NBA 2K was released because we just couldn't get together. Andrew still was persuaded that, you know, you and me and Patrick and Q could handle the podcast ourselves. But then, you know, you and Patrick and Q just didn't have time for it. And so we went on, what was it, 5 weeks of absence? Six?
Oh, at least.
Yeah. And the only impressions we had given the people about the game was that I think Andrew's written review also came late, so all we had was that supposed vidcast that was a total failure.
Blooper reel, you mean?
Ah, yeah. Oh, no, that was the second one. We had actually gotten a vidcast done, but it was, you know, so close to the release of the game that neither you or me had figured out how to play yet. So, but I still did win, so
suck. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what, you want opinions on 2K13?
I don't care, but I mean, Andrew and Ben and I have been talking a lot about it, and you have been doing your own let's plays of the various mods you've created, but I don't think you've given, you know, your actual review of the game so far, what you really think.
You know what I think? I think the PC needs the goddamn patch. That's what I think.
Yeah. What's since you bring that up, what's the main thing you feel needs to be fixed and that we need the patch for?
Because in replays.
Yeah, but other than that, don't you feel that compared to other years, it's been a much better game without the patch?
I think it's a very solid game.
What?
I think it's a very solid game. I think it's a great game. It's probably the best one we've ever had on PC. Mm-hmm.
That's a big word. That's a big statement. Do you consider it better than 2K11? Because that seems to be the fan favorite around the internet.
I think it's better than 2K11.
I'm so glad my recording software only grabs a Skype call and not our stuff, because that would be fucking annoying without any video.
2K11, I mean, they did good things.
Why does everybody love 2K11 so much?
Because it's Jordan, and I mean, it's balanced and everything, and it had the really good blocks, had a really good replay system still. But I'm still going to say 2K13, just because it's more unique. There's more unique moments in 2K13. It's less animation controlled. Branching is there. The additional control is there. The smoother animations from 2K12 is there.
Yeah.
The new control system is a hell of a lot better than anything 2K has ever done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sucks because 2K13 doesn't have any of the retro stuff that the previous games had, and I haven't touched the USA team since the first day. I haven't touched any of the retro teams until recently with the All-Pro Basketball mod. So, I mean, there's less incentive to play non-NBA teams, unlike, you know, 2K11, where you had the Jordan Challenge.
Yeah. And 2K12 still had.
But all that matters to me, just because I'm a modder, because I play on the PC, because I make the game however the hell I want to make it.
Yeah.
For that simple fact, it all boils down to gameplay. And gameplay-wise, 2K13 is better.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's the one thing I could never go back to in 2K11? And 2K12 is terrible compared to 2K13, really.
Which is that?
Post-game.
Yes.
I could never go back to the hold both triggers down and have as little control as, you know, a movie over the post game.
Yep.
You know, I think 2K12 introduced a great post system that got lost, you know, in people's impression, because the game had so many issues.
What, you mean the best basketball game ever made?
Nah.
There's so many people that were saying that after 2K12 was released. So I was kind of like, really?
Yeah, even 2K doesn't say that anymore.
Right.
Even you had 2K people saying that 2K11 over 2K12 and 2K13 over 2K11.
What they were saying was that 2K13 has that 2K11 swagger. And it's like, what about this past
That's
year?
That's ridiculous!
So we're just going to take 2K12 and bury it. Okay, just making sure. I'll get the plot. I'll start digging out back. Hang on. I don't know. It's just silly. how they will bury their own game like that when they sell it to us for the year.
We should make a montage of 2K12 developer promotion videos where they praise the game to no end, saying how much better it is than 2K11, and then put that phrase all over the video.
Yeah, and that's something that I gave EA a lot of shit for, because they did that with NBA Live 08, NBA Live 09, and NBA Live 10, which, understandably, with those games, it did make sense, because each game was inherently better than the one before it. But, you know, I just hate it when they bash what they sold us on for the year previous, and 2K was very bad with that, because they were supporting 2K up until the end. And then once 2K13 season started coming off, they started saying, oh, it's just like 2K11. Or it's as good as 2K11.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But, you know, going back to it, just the pure uniqueness of the gameplay in 2K13 is what keeps me coming back. And my Let's Plays...
I agree with you.
I've been getting my ass kicked on Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But it is the most damn fun. We're recording this on Thursday, so the video that went up today of Thursday Night Throwdown with I was playing as Minneapolis against the Lakers, and Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard tore me up, and they tore me up in very dominant ways. Kobe was throwing shot fakes at me that I've never seen before. Dwight Howard ran the break and just destroyed Rubio in a way that just made me cringe and then do replays for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the little stuff like that that is so unique, and it's something that the tendencies and everything that 2K has done over the past few years, that's the point of it. But they never truly got down until this year, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because they play more like they're supposed to in real life. Kobe was a friggin' assassin in that game.
Yeah.
And
if you raise offensive awareness in the sliders, you know, you get some crazy plays that you've only seen in some crazy things play out that you've only seen in real NBA games, in real NBA games, you know, that you watch on TV before and never in a basketball game.
The offensive awareness slider?
Yeah, the offensive awareness slider, I had it. I was actually getting so pissed off because I was getting destroyed that I lowered it down, and then I realized that I nerfed teams that I was supposed to lose to. You know, Ricky Rubio making some crazy blind passes, or Kobe Bryant working great with his teammates and stuff like that that were supposed to happen.
Huh.
Even if you could make the point that Lakers are terrible this year, but, you know.
My whole thing is, you know, whenever I play...
You play Vanilla?
I like to show off the default game.
Yeah, I know.
And so I never do sliders. And
You are missing out, though. I have to say that. I have to say that. Because
for you, I'll try it. I'll try it, okay?
Then again... You're not much of a sim guy, so you don't care about, you know, tweaking the slider down to the perfect sim, you know, to the perfect one value that's going to get you the perfect balance between simulated stats and
no.
That
gets thrown around a lot by me and the shit that I say about how I'm not a sim person, and difference.
But you still like a good basketball game.
I love a great basketball game.
Yeah.
But I also, the only thing I really care about is what I see on the screen. I want to be realistic.
Yeah.
I want to look at that and say, that could happen in real life.
Yeah.
That's why I like 2K's blacktop mode so much, because I can just, you know, it's realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, I still enjoy Jam, I still enjoy my street games, but there's something to be said for that.
Mm-hmm. You know what I call that? Being impressed by the gameplay and not the game stat screen at the end of the game.
Well, yeah.
I really feel I'm lucky because I'm not such a basketball nerd that if the points in the paint ratio to the total points, if it's not right, that I feel that, like, I can't enjoy the game.
Well, there's a difference between someone who, you know, only analyzes points in the paint and cheesing and all that stuff, And then there's someone who creates a freaking stats thesis that well, can make its own metrics now. And
yeah, again, there's a whole different aspect to this. What I mean is, there's people that can't enjoy the game unless they have enjoyed both the gameplay, and they go to the game stat screen, and the rebounds are just right, they're in realistic, you know, amounts, the field goal percentage and 3-point percentage, and everything is just right and according to the real NBA.
Well, and then there's me, who's really like 4-minute quarters. Yay!
It's really hard to replicate both a great gameplay experience and great stats.
It is.
I can't imagine how hard it's going. That is for roster makers and slider makers, and that's why I'm happy to create the tools and let them do the rest of the work. I can enjoy a great roster and a great slider set and have such a fun association as the one I'm having right now. And the only reason I haven't played my association in so long is because I'm just getting giddy. Because Redditor's release is really close now, and I'm just getting giddy to using NBA Stats Tracker and having a great experience, and okay, you know, and doing a basketball story at the same time, and getting all this analysis. That I realized something back when I was playing 2K12 and I had NBA Stats Tracker. That was the first time I was adjusting my rotations on a game to game basis. I had so much information about how each player played and how well they played and whether I wanted to give them extra minutes or not, that I actually spent a lot more time managing the team rather than just playing from game to game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what's been missing, and I just haven't spent any time because I can't find that interest, because I know I'm going to enjoy it so much more later on, and I'm just focusing right now. I've done some big work on NBA Stats Tracker. I talked about it on episode 19 of the NLSC podcast. So I'm not going to go over it again. But after that, what happened after that podcast is that I began work on Roster Workshop, which I know you're going to love, and I know a lot of people are going to love. But most people don't know what the hell it is. And I'm going to do a funny thing here. Since you do such a great job, I build the tools, and you do such a great job making tutorials that are always better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Video tutorials that are always better than mine. Do you want to explain to people what Roster Workshop is going to be, what Roster Merge and Repair was?
It will make you not be a virgin anymore. I want you to put that on the top of the tool now.
It will take your dignity and not be kind about it.
Roster Workshop is, I mean, in a word, it's amazing. essentially, you can take multiple rosters and combine them to each other. So let's say, for instance, you know, I have my street mods. And let's say in my street mods, I like to have my crazy-ass dunk ratings, and I like to have my own uniforms, and I have my own stadiums and everything. With Roster Merge, all I have to do is go through the tool and say, I want this, click, 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 and I can apply my street changes to the official update for that just came out in just one button. And what's nice about that is it goes beyond that. So let's say, what was it? Ultimate Base roster last year had updated team. It updated team rosters. It had updated team colors
before anyone else.
Yeah,
the UBR was updated constantly, while other roster makers took, you know, a few weeks to update their rosters, or a month or something like that.
And in one button, you can take only those changes you want and apply them to the official update that has the latest transactions and 2K rating updates.
Yeah. What I did last year, and I actually, that's the whole reason I built Roster Merge last year and to what's going to be Roster Workshop this year, is that Hawk was updating UBR constantly with all the latest transactions, and he was the first one to incorporate the draftees in their teams as they were drafted and stuff like that, and free agency moves during the offseason. He was constantly updating this, but he was using the default 2K ratings and, you know, guest ratings for the players. While I had people that were spending a lot of time adjusting the ratings. You know, I loved Albi's ratings last year as much as I love Slim44's ratings this year. But Albi's hadn't... He said that it was going to be a while before he got... He did trade deadline, an end-of-season roster, but he said that it would be some time until he did a post-draft roster. So yeah. I couldn't wait for that. I wanted to start an association with Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Big surprise. And what Roster Merge allowed me to do is either copy the whatever I wanted from Albi's roster, whatever I felt Albi's did better, such as skills and tendencies and hot zones and hot spots and gear and everything else that he updated, and just incorporate that into UBR and not have to mess with the default things anymore, not have to work with the default things anymore. And then UBR had the issue that because it was so big, it broke association, so they had to make a separate association roster. Back then, it was before the separate association roster got made. So yeah. What Roster Merge allowed you to do was just get the team rosters, you know, the updated team rosters, and apply that to Albi's roster. So you could have a perfect roster for association with all the new team rosters, all the new players, still have Albi's ratings, and still have a roster that worked perfectly in association in my career. And then I also incorporated Nick's updates to the 2012 rookies through his draft class, again via a few clicks in the Roster Merge. So I ended up having a great roster, and I actually made a guide about this, both... in writing and video tutorial on how to get that great roster going if you wanted to. And it's going to be even better this year. I've made sure that whatever players you copy actually have their head shapes copied as well. So if a roster maker tweaks head shapes, the head shapes are going to carry over. Player awards are going to carry over, which they didn't last year. Just today I finished incorporating jerseys, which I know it was initially John's request.
Yep.
And I finished it today. So whenever you copy a team, you can pick whether you want their jerseys to also be to replace the old team's jerseys. And I started work on, you know, allowing you to select specific teams to be moved instead of all of them, and or just the current ones. And what else? I talked about awards. Of course, staff is going to carry over. So if you copy a team and they have a new head coach, even if that head coach is missing from your base roster, Roster Workshop is just going to copy the missing coach over to a free spot.
Now, here's my million-dollar question for you.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you use Slim44's ratings and stuff now.
Yeah. I've only used his stuff, and then I've been copying over what I've done so far to get something similar to Roster Merge, but not quite, just to get some gear updated and stuff like minor stuff like that, or maybe signature skills or whatever Slim didn't work on. He's had a lot of trouble lately, and I wish him the best, really. It's really sad to see such a good person go through all that trouble. And he hasn't updated his roster in a while, so if I just wanted gear and stuff like that, I just copy-pasted in the roster editor and matched by CFID.
Now, here's my question for you. You spend a lot of time on your roster editor, right?
Yeah, a lot of time.
And you have the support for two types of rosters in your editor. You can edit the PC rosters, and you can edit the 360 rosters.
Yeah, that's true.
So why don't you use Rashidi's stuff, the real 2K Insider?
Because
his stuff are available for offline download, so you don't have to have an Xbox to get the roster file.
Yeah.
And then you can very easily just grab it and throw it into your thing.
Yeah, of course. And stuff, of course you can use 360 stuff if you match by CFID, and that's the main reason, you know, I did match by CFID, because it was a poor man's Roster Merge. It was Roster Merge without the editor, and okay, It's missing a lot of stuff that the roster merged, that roster workshop this year is going to be able to do. It's not quite, but it can do the basic stuff. Maybe, you know, transfer gear, but then it doesn't do missing players.
And I mean, and I'm sorry to distract you from, you know, we're talking about roster workshop, but...
No. I know, and I'm going to answer it. I made this prologue for a reason.
Yeah.
The only reason, it's not because I didn't know I could do that. I knew, but... Hmm. The reason is, for one, I know all the work Slim has done on his stuff, and I don't know if it was just me being prejudiced towards Slim, but for all the work, for all the great work that Rashidi does,
mm-hmm.
And he says he's adjusting ratings based on how he understands, 2K's formulas over with his experience over the years, and that he doesn't have specific formulas, but that he can feel the ratings or something like that. And for all the great work he does, he comes off as such a dick.
Well, he kind of is.
I'm sorry, but
I don't use them either.
It's a stupid reason not to use a person's work, you know, their personality. And I realize that he's spending so much work and he's getting mostly pissed off at 2K, which is understandable, you know, all the...
Yeah.
But I... And it's a stupid reason not to use his stuff, but I guess I was just satisfied enough with Slim 44's work back before I wasn't even sure how I would get, you know, roster editor to work with 360 rosters. I had no idea. It was really hard because I had no 360 to test my stuff on. I just went with, you know, others' word on whether it works or not. And I just never bothered to open a 360 roster to copy stuff from it. The only stuff I copied from a 360 roster was Van Hoof Hawk's playbooks.
Mm-hmm.
That I did. That's the only reason I...
Because, I mean, those guys are crazy what they do with... intricate they go with the ratings and everything.
Yeah. I know. And I respect all of the work that's been done. But I guess I was just satisfied with Slim's work. And then I didn't really like Rashidi because of... just his stupid first impression.
Yeah.
You know?
That still affects us all.
Yeah. And for just that and for being satisfied in what I had, I didn't really care. And back then, when I first started my association, I don't think Rashidi even had a roster out yet.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I think that his first big roster with the 300 updated players, and now he's doing, 500 updated players? So I know he's doing a lot of work and that most of his work, because of his experience with the game, is really great. But, I don't know why I'm trying to explain myself. Only reason I didn't do Rashidi's stuff, I didn't incorporate Rashidi's stuff, was, for one, he didn't have a roster out when I first started my association. For two, I was satisfied for Slim44's work. And the third thing is, I just got a bad vibe off of the guy and didn't really want to look into his stuff.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well... You know, and to sidetrack again, because it's something I didn't get to talk about before when we were talking about, you're talking about the different stats and everything.
Yeah.
And getting the stats to work out to how you want your stats to work out and, you know, being satisfied with seeing, you know, the correct, averages and everything. There was one feature that I was really looking forward to in NBA Live 13.
Yeah.
In the leaked video that we're not supposed to know about. The accelerated clock.
Okay. That when you choose to do 5 minute quarters, you don't get 5 minutes on the clock, but you just get 12, and it's going faster.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what I was going to ask you was with the your stats tool.
Yeah.
Is that something that can be implemented? Because it'll change the averages per minute. So if I use. Because, you know, I play stupid, crazy 4 minute quarters.
Yeah.
If I use that, am I able to get metrics and everything?
Yeah, of course. The metrics don't assume that you're doing 48 minute quarters.
Okay.
The metrics, the metrics take into account the minutes that you either enter manually or the minutes it can detect from the box scores whenever it detects box scores.
Okay.
So all the features in NBA Stat Tracker they're even NBA agnostic. You don't have it's a tool that works with any league. The only stuff that is NBA specific is that it doesn't handle ties. So if you're in a basketball league that a game can end in a tie and nobody wins, it doesn't support that currently.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that is, you know, really NBA specific is that I've used mostly NBA resources to get the metrics down and stuff like that. Maybe the NBA rules as far as league leaders go, for example, you know?
Well, yeah.
What I still hear you know, being skeptical about it. What's your issue?
I guess it depends more on Vlad, if whether or not that kind of stuff could be implemented in the game.
Stuff like what, the accelerated clock?
Yeah.
It's not
the accelerated clock, but having the stats work out. Because, you know, right now what I do is I have the simulated, you know, minutes be 4 minutes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the CPU teams only score like 20 points a game, whereas yeah. my games end up in the 50s and 40s. So,
okay.
You know, I'm just trying to think of ways to level it out, and I didn't know if your tool could, you know, with the Redditor's help, get those stats in back into the game, if you catch my drift.
So you're saying you want to change the results of games or just change the stats?
Change the minutes per game and those kind of stats. I don't know. Not the minutes per game.
So you're saying
why
that...
Why don't you stats? Because I'm an idiot.
Okay. No, it's okay. We all started somewhere. I mean, I had no idea how most of the stuff worked when I first started. I was only familiar with averages, and all the experience I had with metrics was from inside NBA 2K.
Yeah.
No, it's when I first started, you know, do you remember how NBA Stat Tracker was initially called?
No.
NBA 2K12 Correct Team Stats.
Yeah.
That was before any kinds of analysis. And it went from first release to version 0.4 in a day. In a day. And the first thing I did was, I thought, since I have the stats, why don't I do averages?
Yeah.
And since I have the averages, why don't I do rankings? So you had that averages and rankings window that you could easily check out. And then I thought, since I have the averages and rankings, why don't I do scouting reports? So yeah. That's when the team scouting reports happen. And then someone said, so does this work with other leagues outside the game? And that's when the idea hit me, that I could do this. I could do a basketball analysis program.
And you've done a really good job with it.
Yeah, and but back then, again, I had no idea how stuff like that worked. I had no idea what the metrics were, how they were calculated, how deep and... difficult where our metrics such as PER to be calculated, because if you take a look at the function, the mathematical function that calculates PER, it takes so many factors into account: player stats and team stats and opponent stats and league averages. It's ridiculous. It's a proper complete metric. But back then, you know, I had no idea, so we all start somewhere as far as stats, and we all start, you know, getting interested at some point. And, you know, it wasn't until I did my own association story that I realized how much information I can get out of stats and how much I can even enjoy the game more by having proper
stats. So you weren't a stats guy before this?
No, not at all.
Wow.
No, I didn't bother with stats, really. I mean, you could almost say that before 2010, I was mostly a soccer guy.
Really?
Yeah, because soccer is big in Greece.
Well, I know, and I like soccer. It's just I don't see you as a soccer guy really at all.
Yeah, I didn't. From one point on, the Greek soccer league is so corrupted with so many rich, evil people behind the teams, running the teams, that it stopped being enjoyable at some point. So I gave up on being a soccer guy, and I became a basketball and mostly NBA guy. And before NBA correct team stats became NBA stats tracker, I wasn't interested in stats that much. It was more of a challenge of, you know, that's another tool I can make. And it ended up being something so big. I mean, when I first began, I had no idea I would be allowing people to create their own metrics. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing I've done with NBA Stats Tracker.
Well, you only allow recently did that, create... too.
What?
And that's only recent.
Yeah, that's a few days ago. You know, allow people to create their own metrics, and it's such a cool thing because when you visit a website like Basketball Reference... Big ups to the guys, by the way. You're limited to what they give you.
Yeah.
To all the stats that they give you. You can't calculate your own unless you copy everything manually to an Excel spreadsheet and then do your own calculations. But what I'm allowing is have everything that I'm giving you and then add whatever you want to it. Add your favorite metrics. Experiment easily. And you can use information that usually isn't available. Like if you have contracts in, you can even use contracts as part of the metrics. You know, that feature, I got it. Have you watched the movie Moneyball?
No, well, I know of it.
Yeah. At some point, because Brad Pitt doesn't have enough money to build a proper team.
Builds a smarter team, yeah.
Yeah. He steals a stats guy from the Cavaliers. And the Cavaliers from Cleveland.
That's not right.
He steals a stats guy from Cleveland. And that stats guy, you know, finds steals around the league that are playing very well for their money.
Yeah.
You know, people that get underappreciated because of some, you know, because of things that get overlooked because of stupid criteria that scouts tend to have, like that player is not presentable or that player has a weird throw. No, stuff that puts scouts off if they don't check how effective his weird throw is.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie was what gave me the what persuaded me to allow people to create their own metrics, because crazy stuff like that, like, you know, a contract divided by PER or game score, they're not metrics you're going to find anywhere, in any website. But I thought, how interesting would that be, you know? Trying to be a basketball coach and keeping track of things with NBA Stats Tracker, or being an NBA 2K player and keeping track of your league with NBA Stats Tracker, and the free agency comes and you're not sure which player to pick. You just have the overall rating. While in NBA Stats Tracker, not only do you have all the ratings, all the stats and averages and metrics, but you can actually, you know, set a metric like contract money divided by PER, and you can find the biggest deals of the league.
Well, this is why I'm so interested in your tools. Well, aside from that, they're awesome and they do great things. You know, I'm working on the All Pro Basketball mod, which is going to have three different leagues of 90 teams total.
Yeah.
Since you're outside of the game, I can then, you know, compare all three of these leagues together.
Yeah, and see if they're balanced well enough.
Right.
Stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly. Because I need to be able to balance them before I do a release. So it makes sense that the A division has the best teams and the B division has the medium teams and so on.
Yeah, and that's really hard to do from inside the game.
Yo, you're gonna like this. You know what I just did? I just played an online game. I made a kid rage quit halfway into the first race. But you know. And then, you know, to completely switch gears again.
I think I understand, though, to go back, sorry to interrupt you, but I think to go back to what you were asking, I think you want those 20 games, those 20-point games, to be as if they had played less minutes so that their metrics would add up, their averages would be on par with your games. And yeah, you can adjust that.
Okay.
You can just edit the minutes played for each team and each player, you know, and you can do that in bots by copy-pasting. And you can copy the information to Excel and then paste it back. And by doing that, the tool wouldn't know any better. And then you can export the CSVs with all the updated team and player stats the way you want them, and you can import them back in the game via editor.
Right.
So you can actually affect the team and player stats, but the only thing you can't affect yet, but I know Vlad has taken an interest in it, is box scores.
Hmm.
So you won't be able to edit the box scores, which means that stuff that are based on box scores in the game, such as split stats and last 10 games overlays, and even metrics in the game are
the
going
metrics
to
are used off box scores?
What?
The metrics are based off box scores and not off player stats?
Yeah.
Really?
And I know that because unless they've nerfed the metrics, you know how I know that? The metrics require opponent stats. So most of the most advanced ratings require opponent stats. And I've asked Vlad repeatedly, are you sure you're not missing the opponent stats table or the opponent stats entries in the team stats table? And there are no opponent stats in the team stats table.
Hmm.
I verified this myself because I decoded the whole team stats table as well in roster editor, and there's no team entries that have the exact opposite win-loss record than the regular teams. So, for example, if the 76ers have won 20 games and lost 23, there should be a team entry that has won 23 games and lost 20.
Just to match up with them.
Yeah, because those are the opponent stats, which are required by metrics. So there are two possible scenarios. Either 2K has nerfed the metrics and has removed opponent stats from them, or they're calculated via box scores, because calculating box scores, you can find out stuff like opponent stats.
Huh. That's only second rage quit in a row. Sorry.
<Yeah. laughs> But you can... So, if you do those edits in NBA Stats Tracker and then get them back in the game via editor, you're going to update the total stats in game and the averages, but you're not going to affect the metrics and the split stats. But
so, it's not going to actually change anything, or it's just going to change those two things that the game doesn't really give a crap about?
The game doesn't give a crap, really, about split stats and metrics. It doesn't reference them anywhere, other than if you look at them, if you decide to look at them, and you'll still have team split team stats and metrics in NBA Stats Tracker to reference whenever you want with the edits you've made.
Yeah.
So if you can just ignore completely split stats and metrics in-game, you can have what you want to have, you know?
Well, then we might be onto something here. Which is good.
And if Vlad actually manages to decode the box scores in the end, you know, it's not going to happen, you know, first release, but if he does decide to keep working on it, and if he finds time, because I know how final years in university are, and I guess you know as well, and if he does decide to decode box scores, you're going to be able to, of course, edit the box scores themselves and make the game think that the games were actually, you know, shorter than what they were, and have the game adjust its split stats and metrics as well. But who cares about those in game anyway?
Right.
Once, you know, once I had NBA Stats Tracker, I never checked the player metrics in the game again. I had no reason to. They don't offer you anything more, and you know how split stats. NBA 2K offers some good split stats, you know, per opponent and home and away games, wins and losses, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've added some great split stats in NBA Stats Tracker lately. Stuff like if a player is traded, you can get how he's performed before and after the trade, and with And in any way, you can send, you know, you can set any time frame in NBA Stat Tracker, right?
I haven't used it, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, not yet. I'm looking to. That's why I'm asking.
So, okay. Let me give you some examples. And I've wanted to talk in detail about the NBA Stat Tracker, and I haven't had the chance. I've only done a feature tour back in last July.
There you go. So, well, have at it, man.
Yeah, imagine how many things have been added since then. So, NBA Stat Tracker, for those of you that don't know, it's a full basketball analysis tool, statistical analysis tool. It has totals, averages, metrics, team stats, player stats, opponent stats, league stats. It can recommend starting fives based on performance. It determines which are the most impressive stats of each player. So if a point guard is doing 3 blocks per game, it will know that that's more impressive than 2 assists per game that he's doing, instead of, you know, other platforms that offer supposed statistical analysis but offer, you know, think that assists are always the most important thing for a point guard. It is important, but if a point guard is doing 3 blocks per game, that's impressive, and you need to mention that. So NBA Stat Tracker can determine which stats are the most impressive for a player by their position and mention those as well. It does all kinds of metrics. It does advanced player search, and you can set as many criteria as you want in that advanced player search. You can limit them as much as you want. It has an advanced stats calculator where you can set, you know how, have you ever read reports that say, for example, when Kobe Bryant is shooting more than 20 shots, the Lakers are doing like this?
And yes,
when
I have
he's
heard those.
Taking less than 20 shots, the Lakers are doing like this.
And to be honest, I thought they were always like bullshit.
Yeah, but, you know, there is something to it, okay? You know, analyzing how a team plays when a specific player is a certain way, or when some players play together a specific way, or when a team plays a specific way. Yeah. So, for example, let's say, you know, you have a team and you want to determine how they're doing when they're taking more than 10 three-pointers a game and how they're doing when they're taking less. Okay?
Yeah.
That requires a shitload of work if you do it manually. You have to go through all the box scores, separate them, add them up, and do stuff like that. NBA Stat Tracker does that for you.
Now, see, that seems... I mean, I know people play the game differently than I play it, but that seems something that I would have liked more for when I was playing in college. Than, like, if I somehow got involved with a high school team or with a in college or wherever else again, I'm bringing your tool with me.
Yeah, I know that I was talking about this on episode 19 of the podcast. I was saying that actually a varsity coach who is a member of the operations sports force, Miguel Rock 542, had contacted me and has been using NBA Stat Tracker throughout his high school's basketball season.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he told me that he's going to, over the next, I think after a week or two, he's going to give me detailed feedback on what they liked, how they used it, what they didn't like, you know, what helped them, what didn't, what they'd like to see and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, it's really awesome to see the tool being put to use in real basketball rather than, you know, nerds in front of a screen wanting better stats for their NBA 2K experience. And, but yeah, and I know that's exactly, you know, the reason I've done stuff like that. You can do advanced player search, which depends on advanced player search. You know, depends. You can set filters based on any player information, such as age, height, weight, contract information, and stuff like that. And advanced stats calculator does what I told you just before. It adds up games that fulfill certain criteria and then adds up the games that don't.
Yeah.
And let you see how each player is doing, how each team is doing in those games, both when the criteria are met and both when they're not. So it gives you a good impression of what your team and players should do and what they shouldn't do. So, and it has, you know, even advanced stuff like how is the team doing when that player is starting. Or how is that team doing when that player hasn't played at all? Or how is that team doing when that player has played more than 20 minutes? Or how is the team playing when the game has reached overtime? You know, stuff like that. You can go as advanced as you like, and you can add as many criteria as you'd like. And I've seen, you know, most platforms, they only allow you to add up to 5 such criteria or stuff like that. But, you know, with NBA Stats Tracker, it's limitless.
Now, do you honestly really think, though, that that kind of stuff can tell you how a game is going to play out?
No. No, it's not going to tell you how a game is going to play out. There's so many factors that you have to weigh in that are not in the numbers.
Right.
There's still a lot of intangibles that even a full statistical analysis should can't take care of. So, but if that can give you some stuff to work on. I'm not saying it's a betting tool. I'm not saying you can give it some parameters and it will tell you the result of the game.
Yeah.
But if you're a coach, it's interesting to see if when you play a player a certain way, when you give him that much freedom to do that thing, how is the team doing? You know, other than just your feeling on your or your instinct on how the team has performed when a player has been doing this, has been playing a certain way.
No, I agree.
So I'm not saying that NBA Stats Tracker can is the perfect solution to finding out what's going to make you win, but it has a lot of things that can help you get to that. And what else did I want to... Yeah, I wanted to mention that you can set... You can either get... when you enter stats in NBA Stats Tracker, you enter it in two forms. You can enter it either via editing the totals of each player and team, so it calculates averages, metrics, stuff like that, or you can just input box scores. And it adds up, you know, and it adds up anything you give it in the box scores and calculate the totals that way. But what's interesting about that is if you take the time to enter the box scores, and if you're playing NBA 2K, you can have it auto-detect the box scores. If you take the time to find a way to enter the box scores or have them detected, what you can use is you can limit the stats to any time frame you want. So you can have stats for a specific time period. You can have stats that accumulate over multiple seasons. You can have stats over just 3 days.
Well, how detailed can you go? Can you go like with, you know, how is this kid doing in the third quarter?
And it doesn't have play-by-play stats yet.
Yeah.
But it's in the list.
Okay.
Go play-by-play.
I mean, that'd be really tough for any random person to be able to get their hands on those kind of stats.
Play-by-play stats are ridiculous, and it's only a tool that, you know, coaches that have people, you know, making note of their play-by-play is going to use.
Right.
NBA has that play-by-play, but I'll need to make a parser because nobody's going to enter those manually.
Because when I was in college, that was something that we were experimenting with. We had a PDA, and someone on the bench would try to keep track of all the stats as they were going in the game.
I know. I had the same thing when I was playing basketball back in primary school and secondary school. There was my coach always had one of us, you know, usually the person that was injured, try to keep track of the play-by-play. And but that's, you know, that's something that I've yet to add, but I'm really looking forward to adding. But you know, you can get advanced, but you can't get, you know, as deep as inside the game.
You know, just throwing this out there.
And yeah.
I know it's open source, and anyone who listens to this could take this as a trade secret.
Yeah, of course. I wanted to mention that for anyone who doesn't know, everything I do is open source.
Well, to say, make some money on it. Put this on Android or Apple.
The thesis, NBA Stats Tracker, which was my diploma thesis, was the only thing I was hesitant about making open source. I thought maybe I should go commercial and, you know, find a proper protection module and get money off of it. But then I thought that, you know, everything gets cracked. So there's no point in... And proper protections are really expensive.
Yeah.
So I thought there wasn't really much of a point in that. If a team wants proper statistical analysis, they're going to need support. They're going to need someone catering to their needs. And I can be that guy, open source projects, you know, earn money either by sponsorships, either by, you know, making deals with clients. And the client says, okay, I want you to add those features for me, and I'm going to pay you for them to add them in a week.
Mm.
Or I want you to be standby 24/7, so if I have an issue, I want you to help me at that point. And they pay you for, you know, priority support, as it's called.
So, okay, so you can still get you know, rewarded.
Yeah,
for,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. If people couldn't get any money from open source software, you know, there wouldn't be Firefox, there wouldn't be any open source projects going on other than small hobby projects.
Well, I mean, my whole experience with open source things are, you know, patches.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean...
And we're not looking, you know, we have a rule that people shouldn't be making money a priority. So they shouldn't force people to pay to have their mods.
Correct.
We can allow, you know, donations and stuff like that. Of course, if you want to support the developer, you know, feel free, developers, you know, or a modder. You know, there's some guys, I wouldn't say that I mean them, but I am, that spend hours and hours into making stuff that you're going to just, you know, take 2 minutes to download it, put in your game and enjoy. So, and those hours out of our lives are hours that, you know, we could have spent, you know, in something that gets us some money instead, you know?
Well, that's why I started the YouTube, man.
Yeah, and so, for example, when I'm spending 10 hours on something that's open source and free, it's 10 hours I didn't spend on a paying job. So if you can support the developers and you're enjoying what they're doing, I mean, you're going to only be doing both them and yourself a favor, because if a developer can support himself or herself, you know, if a developer can support them, their life by donations and stuff like that, or at least part of their life, you know, the time they spend on development, if they get, you know, some proper donations, they'll feel even more inclined to spend to keep spending time on stuff like that.
You know, Leftos, I got you fucking Minecraft, okay? And I know you're trying to guilt trip me right now, but I'm sorry. I mean, I want the if tool as much as you do, but I just can't swing the money.
What?
I'm making a terrible joke.
Ah, okay.
As if you're guilting me right now.
No.
Because of all the stuff I run you through.
You're going to do stuff for me anyway.
I always
do. At one point.
I run your support, man.
Yeah, yeah. And you have, yeah, you run my support and you've done all those video tutorials. I'm always so excited to see a video tutorial from you about any of my tools.
Why?
I don't know. I just enjoy, you know, seeing other people discover my tools and use them and, you know, maybe realize things that I haven't realized. For example, Hexon Steroids wouldn't have the custom header feature if you hadn't, you know, got that idea from, you know, trying the automatic shader detection and seeing that it can work if you can just adjust the header.
You know, I throw this around a lot when, like, back in the day when Conrad was making jerseys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I throw this adjective around a lot, but I mean it when I say this. Hexon Steroids is by far your sexiest tool.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember what my first tool was? I think it was my first tool, though. And I remember, you know, back then I wasn't in the team. We hadn't really met yet properly, but you really appreciated what I did because it helped you a lot. Do you remember what it was?
Fuck. What was it that brought us together?
Miracle My Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Back when you were so devoted to keeping it vanilla, but you wanted miracle lighting and you had figured out how to do miracle lighting and you wanted to do, you had done, I think, all default uniforms?
Yep, by myself using a macro with my mouse.
Yeah, using a macro. And that was when I thought, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that to himself? And why can't I apply the same great, you know, effects, the same lighting to my modded jerseys? Why is that guy so bent on using the default assets? And then he goes to make them signed better. Why not get a green jersey to sign better? And that was when I was first persuaded to.
And meanwhile, after that tool came out, I don't know if Andrew deleted those posts out of the lounge. I hope he did. But me just going off, we need to get this guy as a programmer.
Yeah. What? No. Those posts are still there. No, the discussion on whether I should be part of the team, and I actually, you know, getting access to that part of the forum was
that doesn't exist, and no one knows about.
No, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. I dreamt about it once. So when in my sleep, in my dream, I was visiting that part of the forum, it was so nice to see, you know, you and the other guys of the team be anxious to have me in the team. It felt really nice to be so welcomed, because most of the stuff that I had done up to then was mostly my initiatives. You know, open source projects were always my initiatives. I hadn't taken part in any open source projects of other people's work. Not because I think I'm better or anything like that. It just hadn't happened, you know? I'm just 23. I mean, I still have a lot of my life in front of me to participate in a whole lot other people's work, but it was so nice to be, you know, to be appreciated and be part of a team that runs a site that I had leads from for so long, and I was finally able to participate and take care of the website and make it run and do all this great work as part of the team.
Now, what felt better, reading all that or getting courted by professors for graduate programs?
That's you're putting me in a tough spot. No, it was really nice being welcomed by you guys, and it's been a great experience. I mean, we've grown by people that just know each other's usernames on the forum to people that do so much stuff together. I mean, I've gotten with Andrew on 13 podcasts now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten to know Ben and Patrick and Q and so many people that I would have never talked with, you know, or chatted with or shared experiences with. It's been great. It's been really, really great. And especially, you know, I wasn't expecting, you know, that Zhao Xming guy, you know, to end up having so much fun.
That Zhao Xming guy.
Yeah, and develop tools together and do Let's Plays together and so much stuff, you know. Am I getting too sentimental about this?
Yes, you are, but it's okay. Yeah.
It's been really fun.
It has, you know, been fun. And yeah, I'm really glad.
It's a great community, really.
And I'm really glad that this podcast has come out the way it has with you, Ben, and Andrew, and Pat, and Q when he gets around to it. I mean, I feel bad not being able to do this unless I evidently have trials in front of me. But, I mean, it's just the time aspect that you guys put into this and seeing the effort and now seeing the return on the effort that you guys are getting, just with the download base that you're getting.
Yeah.
I really like seeing that, and, you know, I feel bad because recently, you know, the past couple of months I've gone more solo than normal with the YouTube channel and everything, but I don't know. It's just, it doesn't take a lot of effort on my end to just plug in a microphone and talk, you know, for a whole 20 minutes and then press one button, render it. Whereas you guys are, you know, having meaningful discussion for hour and a half.
No, it's not that. For one, it's obvious that you haven't listened to the podcast recently because we've settled on 2.5 hours. That's our cutoff point.
And where are we at now? I don't even want to know.
We haven't had any podcast where we've run out of things to discuss any earlier. Actually, 2.5 hours is our cutoff point, literally, because that's when, even if we have more stuff to discuss, we just say we have to wrap up.
You know? What are we at right now? Do I want to know?
I think it's an hour.
That's it?
Yeah.
I love this game.
But we had that one podcast that was 3 hours. That was when I put up that graph, and the thread was appropriately named "Why John is never going to join the podcast again."
You'll not get me to do a 3-hour podcast.
No, I don't expect you to. And really, I've had a lot of fun, you know, having Andrew and Bennett, and it was slightly all too serious at first, but we've grown such a great chemistry, we're feeling a lot more natural with each other right now and having a lot more banter. You know, the best thing that we're doing right now is that we're not talking about anything before we start recording. So we have a whole lot of shit probably nobody cares about to talk once we start recording, but it makes for such natural conversation. When you haven't run out of subjects because you ran through all of them before the podcast has even started, and then you have to fake your reaction that, oh, that's what you think about that.
No. Well, whereas you and me are, you know, how many times have we been playing something together or just talking and going, we should be recording this. Why aren't we recording this?
Yeah. But it took a bit of getting used to with Andrew and Ben to get a natural feel and, you know, be and joke about things. And I really feel that if you don't have the time to listen to any other of our podcasts, you should just grab episode 15 at some point and just take a listen to that. I think it was a hilarious episode.
Okay.
We had so much fun doing it. I don't remember having so much fun doing the podcast ever. So much fun doing it, so many laughs during the podcast, so much good discussion in it. And if you're just going to pick one episode to be persuaded that you should start listening to the NLSC podcast, it's that. Or the episode, I think it's episode number 4 where I tell John to fuck off because he's messing with me about association, not getting any updates. After it was his fucking prediction that this was the year Association was getting a remake.
Yeah, never did it. Well, okay, so, yeah. you just segued me right back to what I was going to talk about like 10 minutes ago.
What? Where were we? We were discussing
about stats and stuff, and you were talking about association, and you just talked about association again, so I'm going to bring this up.
I wanted to mention something before we started. Just one final thing that I think is really cool. For example, now in the split stats in NBA Stats Tracker, whenever a player is traded, you can see how he has done with each of the teams he's played with. You don't have to be limited to a season. So if a player is traded mid-season, you get immediately split stats on how he's doing with that team and how he's doing with the next one. Not just by opponent stats, but also by team stats. You get separate split stats on how the player has done on his last 10 games and how the player has done in his previous games, and those also apply to teams. You get how a player has done against opponents that do more than 500, and then against teams that do less than 500, every kind. And if those split stats aren't enough, you can always use advanced stats calculator and do your own thing. Do, you know, whatever you want and calculate your own stats. But yeah, that's as much as I want to get into NBA Stats Tracker. And this year was NBA 2K13 Roster Editor, which was my first try at the Roster Editor. And what the Roster Editor has resulted in, most of all, is immense respect for Vlad. You know?
Oh, yeah. You know the decoding I'm capable of, and then what he does.
Yeah. I know the decoding you are capable of. I know the decoding I'm capable of. I know the decoding some other guys are capable of. And then there's Vlad on a whole other level. I mean, he's got some help from... I know you've helped him. Hookup guy has helped him. And yep. Some other guys have helped him with decoding, but... The sheer amount of stuff that's going to be in this year's Redditor is ridiculous. There's stuff in there that nobody would ever touch. For example, there's the current winning streak of teams at home. Who's going to edit that?
You know, one that you know people didn't think that... or here's one that I decoded for him that he put in the official release notes or whatever already. 2K actually has a value in there that tells you which side of the arena is the team's home bench, and so which way the teams will go for the first quarter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Minute stuff like that is editable now.
How did you come across that, though?
How did I come across that?
It's interesting because you see all those values in Redditor, and you're wondering, how the fuck did he come across that value?
Well, he finds the values, and then he had me to figure out what each value meant. So I found that one.
okay.
Yeah, that was me. That was me changing all these values and trying to figure out what did what. And wait, they're going the other way now.
Okay,
and
so
then
you're
finding out that if you do one value, you'll get the blacktop mode cameras during the pause menu.
okay. Okay, so that must have been, you know, a lot of work, you know, trying to figure out what has changed around the game and looking around, is anything different?
Hey, I've been busy not doing the podcast, okay?
Yeah, no. I never doubted that you have been busy, and I really don't care whether you're coding values. I was mostly worried that you should be a good dad. I mean, that was one thing. That was one thing I really wanted you to be, if not to be a podcast participant, you know?
You know, we joked that you know, I've been playing Trials since it came out, which is a lie because I disappeared for an hour when I was supposedly playing because I was changing and feeding my daughter. So,
good dad.
Nap time finished. Mommy came home. Daddy went back to playing video games. I love you.
Yeah, I think we know how much you love your daughter. We found out in that developer diary, and your wife asking her, calling her to warm up some pizza for you and bring it over.
Oh, she was awesome.
Yeah,
that was great. Well, just because you know we had one person watch us in the live stream, I couldn't leave them.
Yeah, I know. Is us eating pizza on the live developer diary?
Oh, sorry. I just woke the baby up from their nap. Good job, Daddy.
You had something in mind to talk about, and I went to Roster Editor, and then there was Hex on Steroids, which was pretty much my... Do you know how Hex on Steroids began? Do you know why I created that tool?
For the lighting stuff in the global that we never used it for.
Nope.
For the shaders.
The plan was to upgrade Miracle My Jersey... And update Global Editor as well. Yeah. That was before Hex on Steroids. The reason I created Hex on Steroids was to decode the rosters. But
that wasn't going to work
at all. That didn't work at all because it would have worked in 2K12.
Yeah.
Would have worked. It would have at least, you know, let me figure out where stuff is. I could figure out where the cyber faces are and ratings are and
that
things
ain't gonna work non-byte aligned.
What?
That's not gonna work non-byte aligned.
Yeah. But then 2K13 came out and I hadn't figured out yet that the information was not aligned inside the byte properly, so Hex on Steroids didn't work at all in that aspect. But what it did end up working for was lighting editing. Court editing, apparently, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So that I had no idea. You know, I just made that tool and I thought that, you know, with it, anything is possible. So would you like to share some of your experience with Hex on Steroids and tell people what it is if they don't know?
It's sex.
You see, the Rosa workshop, you have to become a bit more original.
No, that was what I said about Hex Workshop. Hex on steroids, not Roster Workshop.
Ah, okay.
I mean, you can plug in I have my tutorials, but I mean, you plug in values and it finds all of the values for the court reflections or for the court colors. Yeah. Anything that was just really complicated with hex editing is now just pure values for you to look at. And hopefully soon here we'll have really easy values to edit the global lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you check out the file I sent you?
No, I haven't experimented with it yet. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to know if you saw that PM. And
I installed it. I took a look at it. I said, oh, cool, that's awesome. And then I didn't get to go back to it.
Yeah. That's my whole plan was with Hex on Steroids when I first thought of profiles, you know?
Oh, yeah.
At first I thought I should translate the whole file to a single data type, but then I went more advanced with it and said, okay, you can set certain regions or you can do custom headers after you recommended I do that. And
can we name rows?
What?
Can we name the rows?
Not yet, but I was thinking of doing that. For now, you can just name the columns. And it's such a silly limitation. I wanted, for example, the global editing. Right now, it's one row, 14 columns, and the reason it's like that, instead of 14 rows, one column, which is easier to navigate, because you don't have to scroll horizontally. The only reason it's like that is because there's a silly limitation that you can only set a certain data type in a column, not in a row. So if one part of the file you have it decoded as float and another part of the file you have it decoded as int, you can't have those things in the same column.
That sucks.
Yeah. I either need to hack around that and manually display the stuff as I want to display it, which is going to make the program more resource hungry, because it will have to do additional conversion that it shouldn't have to, or find another data grid that supports different types as far as columns go, as far as rows go. But what I'm going to do, what I have on my to-do list for Hex on Steroids, is that if you have multiple values, multiple parts of the file decoded as the same value, for example, the global profile, the global editing profile, is just 16 or 20, it's 24 floats, but it's in different parts, right?
And some of them don't find anything.
What?
Some of them are off.
Yeah, but that's just, some wrong notes. I you can go a few bytes.
I'm giving you crap, I know.
Yeah. No, I give the same notes to Sonjon, who gave me those offsets. I told him that most of the values work, some don't, so maybe you need to review your notes a bit and give me, maybe you need to correct your offsets a bit.
He lies.
So if you have, multiple things that are of the same data type, I will make it so you can just put them in a single column.
That'd be bitching.
Yeah, it's a small improvement because you'll have to scroll vertically instead of horizontally, but it's still something,
Well, you can still give us just the option to keep it the way it is or whatever else.
Yeah, of course I'm going to make it an option. I'm not going to force it. I never force things. If I can make it an option, I make it an option. But I have been playing. I'm going to give you, a hint. I have been playing the same track, trying to get it no fails. I have the gold time down, but I'm trying to do it no falls for about 30 minutes now. Which track is it?
I'm going to guess it's that sewer track.
Yep.
Fuck that track. You know what I'm zero faulting? The tournaments where you have multiple tracks up on against each other.
Yeah.
I'm an ass.
Anyway, that's pretty much what Hex on Steroids is. It's a hex editor that displays everything as numbers you can understand. It's a hex editor that works with decimal values instead of hex values.
It's very nice.
Values you can understand, yeah. And you can, so instead of having a separate tool for jerseys, a separate tool for arenas, and a separate tool for global editing, and then separate tool for editing court reflections, and a separate tool for editing court colors, you just have the same tool, you create different profiles, and you have it all in the same tool.
And it's amazing.
Yeah. And people can share their discoveries easily. So last year, when someone discovered values, you know, new places in the global file where a lighting value was found, you remember that? When I first started the global editor, people would discover new offsets, and I had to go in the code and add those offsets in and allow people to edit them. Right now, you don't have to do that. Zonga just say, here you go, guys. Here's a profile that has all the offsets I have discovered, and you can use it immediately.
But no one shared anything so far this year.
Yeah, that's true. But
I've done tutorials on how to make your own profiles. I haven't shared any profiles yet, though.
No, because people aren't using Hexon steroids that much. If I show them that Hexon steroids can be NBA2K13 global editor by just loading up a profile, I think it's going to blow up.
I think so.
Right
too.
Right now, shadow editing is limited to a few guys that are, you know, doing work on globals, and nobody can share their shadow modes easily, because if you're making a super global, you have to start with the shadow mode as a base and then apply all your stuff or copy the values over manually, and it's always hard to do that. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work.
And never mind doing all the texture editing too, which makes it so that if I try to do a comparison, I can't find out what's a texture and what's in a value.
Yeah, exactly. So what last year's global editor allowed you to do was edit certain values and have them as profiles and copy them over to other globals, so you can have the same shadow mode but in different globals, and you could apply a shadow mode to a global of your own without needing to know how to finally got the gold on the sword level.
Hey, side note, I hate when people say shadow mod and photo mod. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
No, it's ENB series.
Yeah.
And it's the lighting. Photo
mod. I know. Anyway, but yeah, once I show people that Hexon steroids can be NBA 2K13 global editor, I really feel we're going to have some, you know, value sharing and offset sharing going on, and people, you know, improving shadow modes, which, you know, over the last, before 2K12 was a niche for those really advanced in hex editing, you know?
Yeah, and I miss it because NBA Live, which you missed, had one, you know, a friggin' notepad file.
Yeah, I know. Andrew has told me a lot about, you know, editing and modding back in the days of NBA Live, especially, you know, rosters being literally CSV files.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Hexon steroids is pretty much every hex editing tool that was ever made, you know. And you can share tools, you can not only share values, but you can now share tools. You can create your own lighting editing tool and share it with others by just sharing a few kilobytes of a profile. That's what's so great about Hexon steroids. And what I've been talking a lot about the tools I made, and I wanted to let you go on and say what all the things you had in your mind to say. That's the end of my monologue.
Okay. So when you play association modes,
yeah,
do you treat the players on your team as if they're real people, or do you know that you're playing a video game?
That's a really good question, and we've had long talks about association and how we feel it would be realistic and how we play it with Andrew on the podcast, but it's really interesting that you ask me that. So I really, I try to be realistic. I don't want to do things that are too far off from what would actually happen. One thing that doesn't bother me that much is weird trades, because I'm not that knowledgeable, so things like that don't bother me. I don't know which trades are very realistic and which are not. I only realized that as soon as I had NBA Stat Tracker and could compare players properly. But as far as managing my own team, I try to be realistic in that I'm not going to do ridiculous trades, you know, give them Charlie Villanueva And last year, Charlie Villanueva and Ben Gordon for their best two players. Even if they offer me that, I'm not going to do it.
Well, there's a difference between being realistic about it. And what I mean more of is how attached are, like, do you treat these virtual players as if they're real people?
I try to keep them satisfied.
According to the morale.
Yeah, according to the morale. For example, I knew, and I try to be, I try to take into account how their morale affects the team. For example, Terrence Williams was playing really well for me, but he didn't like being the sixth man, even though he has been a free agent for so long. He was really disappointed. He was the only player that was very unhappy in the team after I signed him. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give him up, even though he's been playing very well, and I'm going to get a player that will, like to play the role that is open in the team. I didn't say, okay, that's a video game. I don't care if he's feeling unhappy. I really don't care. As long as he's putting up the numbers I won't care if he's satisfied in the team. Because in real life, a player that's not satisfied is not going to play well and is probably going to fuck up the rest of the team as well. See Dwight Howard, for example.
Right, but so I bring that up because over last weekend, do you know who iPod King Carter is?
Yeah.
Okay, he started this thing on YouTube. They're doing the sports commentator March Madness, where they're taking 64 people or sports commentators on YouTube, putting up against each other in a tournament style, and they're going to have people voting on, who's the best, like the NCAA tournament, and there's going to be a winner at the end.
Thank you.
I entered it, and I did not get into the tournament. I was one of the 300 people that got rejected.
Thank you.
Now, what I did was I was like, okay, well, obviously my commentary isn't up to snuff. What's going on? Why? What did I screw up with? And I looked through what all of the different people, including iPod King Carter, and watched how they played the game compared to how I play the game. When I'm playing a video game and doing my stuff on YouTube, I'm playing a video game. Everyone says, don't play video games, play basketball. I say, play video games, have fun, damn it. I mean, it's a different mentality. What these guys are doing when they're playing their associations and playing their my careers, it's not, oh man, my guy is doing this. Oh man, my guy is doing this. Or, oh, I really need to, get his dunk rating thing up. It's, oh man, I just got at the arena and I just, broke up with my girl and I'm in a bad mood. That's why my morale's down. And it's all very eye focused, as if like they're the actual person commentating. Like they're their own character, if you will.
Yeah.
And what I realize is that's what I'm looking through the association stories now, and I noticed a couple of people treating some of the video game players as if they're real people, and there's that aspect to it that made me think about that, but I've never felt that way.
Maybe that transfers over from, being mostly my career players and how they want to be treated as real people by the game. So maybe that transfers into their association and how they treat their players as if each player was my career.
Well, here's the thing, though. I felt that way until I actually played an association, a dynasty in NBA Live 10.
Mm-hmm.
In you're not familiar at all with it, right?
No.
Okay, NBA Live 10, when you start an association, you start one in 2K, you do some player roles and stuff, but essentially you're right into the season already.
Mm-hmm.
In NBA Live 10, you start off with hiring staff, and before you get to the actual season, you have to do training camp.
Okay.
And it's not training camp like it is in 2K where you say, okay, this guy's going to go and get free throw training, and this one's going to go to get this.
Yeah.
In NBA in Live 10, you're doing the shoot around with the multi-core thing with all your teammates around you, and with that individual player that you're selecting, you walk up to coaches on the practice court, and each coach has different drills you can do, and then you choose which players do which drills, and the ratings they get boosted upon, you know, depend on how well you perform that drill, which I know you can do in 2K, but it's, you know, presented differently.
Yeah, okay. It's a cool presentation.
And then when you resign players, there's the mini game where you have to, like, say, well, you want to stay in a big market, don't you? Well, you want to win a championship, don't you? Well, we'll give you a big project, you know, we'll give you playing time, we'll give you big money. There's different tokens.
Those affect the player later on, you know, you made that promise and you broke it.
Right, exactly. And you're at the same time you're building reputation because other players in free agency will know that you lied to this other player. I mean, it's a very deep thing, and it was the first time where I actually had to step back and say, "Holy crap, these aren't just, you know, salary cap holders. I have to treat these, you know,
agents
like people."
2K hasn't given that impression, you know, that your actions have any consequence other than, you know, just the player's morale.
Right.
Whatever you do doesn't seem to affect any other aspect.
So, I guess what my question is to you is why? I mean, do you think it is just my career that has changed that? That, I mean, people have been coming off saying that my career is like an RPG and everything. I still hate my career, my player, everything. I liked it in 2K11 and 2K10 when I was in the D League.
Yeah.
But since then, when I didn't have to work for it as much, I haven't really cared for it.
Yep. I know. What I don't like about my career, well, one of the things I don't like, besides it being really hard for if you play the 4 or 5, because you're never going to get the pole, is that even though you're never considered good enough to get the pole, the game rushes so much to get you in the starting position.
Mm-hmm.
You're in there after 15 games. And it's ridiculous. I mean, 2K went from having you to fight for your position from starting the D-League to giving you the starter position in 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that always pisses me off. I'm still a 65-rated player. I would never have a starting position. Why are you giving it to me?
Now, but I mean, what part of that...
But yeah, association is a whole other story. I know what you mean, and I don't know what has caused them. I wouldn't know what has caused them to really, you know, be like that in their associations, treat their players as actual players, especially considering that the game doesn't show you that your choices have any consequence other than, you know, player morale and team chemistry. Those are the only two things that are affected from your choices, but... You're not going to, you know, ruin your reputation in the league as a GM. No player is going to reject you because you've treated other players unfairly. No member of staff is going to reject you because you're not a good GM. You're not going to have a team fallout because you're not being a good GM. You know, players mutinying and requesting trades because they don't like you. It's stuff like that. For example, games like Football Manager, I don't know if you have any experience with it.
Nope.
Football Manager is the most has to be the most detailed sports management game ever. And everything you do has a consequence. From how you set up the training, to how you treat the players up in the personal talks, to how good you are as a manager, everything has an effect on how your players see you, how your staff sees you, whether anyone wants to resign, whether anyone wants to sign with a team, what teams are going to bargain for when trading with you, if you're ever going to get another job if you get fired, how other coaches treat you in press conferences, everything you do affects so many aspects of the game. And live sounds like that. Life sounds like it has gotten some of those. Yeah, a little, at least on some level. 2K has no such level.
That's true.
Has no level showing you that your actions as a GM have consequences. While 2K has worked on getting that to the my career, for example, if you're a center with a 43 point rating and you shoot up a 3, maybe you'll get a coach feedback that says, do that once again and you're benched. And you do that again and you're benched. Okay, that has happened and that has gotten people crazy about, you know, oh, 2K has added that and, you know, I can't be acting stupid and acting a fool on the floor because the coach will actually bench me. But, you know, no such things have transferred over to association. Your actions have no consequences. So it all boils down to character and how engaged you want people to be. Because if you treat your association like a video game, it's going to be you just going from game to game. It's going to be a guy that either knows how to play NBA 2K or doesn't know to play NBA 2K. There's no story in it. There's no feeling. There's no passion. There's no emotion. There's no reason that people will want to follow you and, you know, be excited about what happens next.
Which is when how you're I play.
when you're being just a video game player, what you're doing is the only two possibilities you're giving your viewers is you're either going to win or you're either going to lose. Right. But if you're a commentator and you're doing a story and you're acting as if your players are real people, you know that if you lose a game, suddenly you have to adjust the story to that and people are going to be interested to see, oh God, they lost a game against a rival. How are the players going to react? How is the GM going to handle things? Are players going to mutiny? And stuff like that isn't in the game engine, but good commentators can make that stuff be part of the game. It's the exact reason we have dynasty and association stories in the NLSC forum that are so successful, that have been going on for so long, and that are being kept track of by so many people. And it's just that association story, but in a more direct way. You can't be, you know, you're limited in what you can tell in your story when you're showing the game, because, you know, you can't say that the player reacted like that and have the player be, you know, I'm the happiest I have ever been in the team. Yeah. While in the story, you don't have to show that. In the video, you have to show that, but in the story, you can just write that that player didn't get to practice. You know? Stuff like that. And they have to incorporate that in order to keep people engaged, in order to give people a story that they'll want to follow, that they'll want to follow. It's the same thing with TV series. I don't know if you're, you know, crazy about any dramatic TV series.
Wrestling.
Well, yeah, no. The kind of wrestling that you have, that WWE shows, which is purely story-based.
TNA, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, again, it's
well, no, that actually makes sense, because not too long ago, TNA was doing this thing where it's all, like, strictly about wrestling, and I enjoyed that a lot more than the stuff with the story stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's just, I think you took it a different way that I didn't realize before, that it could just be just to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
I was taking it as this person legitimately believes that these are actual people in the video game, and they need to be taken care of in ways that the game does not give two craps about.
It's not really as much as having people engaged and, you know, doing it all for the subscribers. Maybe they're actually, you know, people that would love to do an association story, but have found a way to get to be able to speak and play and have people watch how they play and have people listen to them and get comments on YouTube, which is, you know, a much bigger means of communicating even your gameplay than, you know, a forum is.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, a few years ago when we didn't have capture cards and we didn't have fraps and we didn't have computers that could both play games and record them decently, maybe back then the same people, if they were, you know, at the same age and were as passionate as they are now, maybe the same people would be doing association stories, you know? Yeah.
No, that's true.
So what this is, what you're describing to me, is just an association story that's in video format.
Yeah.
So you should be wondering, have I asked the same question about the people that are doing association stories at the NLC? Is Andrew mad for doing a My Career in first person, a My Career story?
No.
So it's exactly the same thing, if you ask me. That's at least my opinion. Maybe, yeah, you know,
and that's a good way to put it. And like I said, I just wasn't thinking of it the right way. So it turned from, why are these crazy people doing it, to, why do I suck so bad?
Well, I wouldn't put it like that. Your words, not mine, but, you know. It's a good way to have people engaged if you have actually a backstory, you know.
Oh, no, I agree.
Then it ends up being more than just a gameplay and the win-loss result. it ends up, you know, the gameplay and the end loss result ends up being, you know, just a small portion of what's going on, and people are actually going to wonder, oh my God, how is he going to handle this loss? How are the players going to react? Are we going to see a trade happen? This player has been unhappy all season. He has fought with a coach. Stuff like that that are never going to happen in 2K. Or at least, you know, haven't happened yet. Maybe, you know, later on in some other alternate universe association get some love. And
well, that's the other thing I was going to mention now that you're bringing all this up is why haven't we seen this crap? I mean, you're not familiar. I told you about NBA The Inside 09 for the PS3.
I have no idea what that
which
is.
It's terrible, by the way. Yeah. But it has a story-driven career mode in it that has dialogue and everything. It starts off with you winning the D-League championship, and then a couple days later getting signed on to an NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all scripted with, you know, the players' voices and the coaches' voices. And, like, I stopped at the point where he was like, okay, let's get the new kid on the court and make sure. And he pointed to Kendrick Perkins, who was the, you know, Celtics center then, and said, how about you take this time off so you know, give him some chance, and sets up a rivalry with him and some shit. And, I mean, it's very interesting and in stark contrast to what...
So that's 2K's
done
PS3?
With my career. That's for PS3 only.
Ah, too bad.
And the game's terrible anyway. But
you just got me curious to just see, you know, how it is.
I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. Hey, maybe I'll do a story with that because I don't have to do any storytelling. The game will do it for me.
Yeah.
But
so I mean, is it all one playthrough worth? I mean, if you start with different parameters, do you get a different story, or is it just the same story?
Well, they do three stories. I think one's for a point guard and a guard. The other one is for a forward, and the last one's for a center.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if they're different stories or if there's different dialogues for each, but...
Ah.
But, I mean, it's just, in comparison to what 2K does with my career, it's, you know, it's mind-blowing. Because, you know, I mean, it's difficult because I think of The Sims 1 with such fondness because of all of the stories and everything I had from that game that I had to come up myself because it's the frickin' Sims 1.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no actual emotion, there's no storyline. And then we have The Sims 3 now, which literally kind of holds your hand through all the
gives
different
you stories and, events and vacations.
And there's still interpretation there, but there's not as much.
Yeah.
So I think. And 2K's ridden the line where they're not in that point where you're allowed to make your own decisions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that EA is any angel either. NBA Street Home Court did a terrible job, I thought, with storytelling. And it was too much to let you really kind of make your own identity and story. And it was too little to make it worth just, you know, taking it at face value. And from what I've heard and seen from, what I've heard from NBA Elite's Be A Pro, that it was going to be the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, well, at the same time, though, they're treating it like a video game, so I liked the sounds of it. I don't know. It's just, I know it's different things for different people, but I'm just amazed at how middle ground it is, if that makes any sense. How it doesn't really go overly storyboard like the Life did in the NBA The Inside series, or completely bare bones like you would say The Sims 1 was.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but even games that don't give you that much of a storyline themselves, that's why I have such imaginative people writing such interesting stories.
Well, actually, here we go. Perfect example, Fight Night Round 3. Did you ever play it?
No, I don't have an Xbox, John. I've played just a few
games. It's on PS2, come on. Or Xbox One.
Okay.
But yeah, Fight Night Round 3, or even Round 2, I think even the regular Fight Night from back in 2004. What they did was when you had a fighter progress in his career, all of a sudden, without like any warning, he'd start getting fat on you. And his stats wouldn't get any better. And it was like this really kind of depressing. I remember being so depressed seeing my prize fighter turn into this punching bag. And I think I'm, you know, it's wrong because it's, you know, different individual sports compared to a team sport. And I'm even thinking back to my Tiger Woods player and everything. It's just, why haven't career modes interested me when I used to be so interested in them, you know, those years ago?
Maybe they lack the personality.
Or the lack of personality.
You say that 2K11 and 2K10 had you fighting for position.
Right.
Had you fighting through the D-League to actually, you know, feel a sense of accomplishment of making it in the NBA, while making it to the NBA in 2K12 and 13 is a given.
Yeah.
You know? And becoming a starter is a given. So the only accomplishment is then MVP, team records, Hall of Fame, and championship.
Yeah.
And those are all well and good, but it's not enough. You want the challenge and you want the sense of accomplishment. That's what I get.
Yeah, but then why am I not enjoying the association mode as is right now? Because that's pretty bare bones.
I don't know. If you like the sense of accomplishment, you know, especially, you know, starting a season with the Celtics as they are right now, it would be, you know, and applying all the injuries, I mean, would be an amazing challenge to see if you could go through it.
Well, you saw my video blowing up the Celtics and how terrible
it is. Yeah, but that was like, okay, I'm bored. I want to make a video. I don't have any whiskey on me, so I'm going to do this sober.
Or more like it's just me.
Let's just do random stuff. Yeah, or just, you know, hello, it's just me.
Just me, and I'm going to break my Celtics apart and then never actually break them apart.
Yeah. Because I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, let's do this. Okay, this makes no sense at all. So, yeah. So,
people yelling at me for that.
What you were trying to do there was just, you know, you did some management moves and then you simulated and then you didn't really care whatever happened because you knew you would turn off the game, you would render the video, and that was all. You know, you weren't tied to that team. Right. But, for example, when I'm playing association, and it's great playing with a team that, you know, has to actually fight for a championship, you know, doing so well, being, trying to stay with the 8th seed and having, you know, maybe Monroe and Stucky go down both for 3 weeks near the end of the season. And that's where you say, oh, fucking God, I would love for this to be, you know, an association story. That would be such a great moment because I'd have such a hard time continuing. And that's where the real challenge gets in. Now, mm-hmm. Can I do without those two players that are admittedly, you know, some of my best? Can I still survive? And, you know, if you are doing an association story, stuff like that, you know, write their own storyline. You're getting people, you're definitely going to get people engaged. And you're going to be engaged yourself because there is a storyline there that's writing itself.
Yeah.
That team is fighting for getting back in the playoffs after so many years or winning the championship after so many years. And suddenly, 10 games before the season is over, and while the 8th seed is still up for grabs, they lose two of their main players. And you don't have to force... You can... With roster editing, you can even force those events, you know? Write your own...
Well, and I can put suspensions in for injuries and all that.
Yeah, suspensions and injuries and, you know...
Personal reasons.
Yeah, whatever. You can do your own storyline and make the game as hard as you want. It reminds me, actually, of, you know, Flight Simulator, where you can set a timer where a random thing is going to be completely damaged. So you can, you know, if you're having, if you're feeling bored, or if you're feeling up to a challenge, and you've completed all the pre-made stories that are in Flight Simulator, you can say, okay, in the next 15 minutes at a random point, make any of the system's planes fail. So you have no idea when it's going to happen, how close you're going to be to landing, if you're going to be over the ocean or over land, if you're going to lose an engine or just lose instruments or just lose radio or whatever. So it's stuff like that, you know, and you can with the roster editor, and I guess if Vlad puts that in or if I make a tool for it, you can do random stuff. For example, you can start an association, you know, and if you're feeling adding a little spice to it, you can randomize the injuries.
Well, you know, going along with that, what I've always wanted was like Football Manager, something like that, except that I get to play the games in-game, and then I can export the box score into an external Dynasty Maker, if you will.
Yeah. I understand what you're talking about, and I know FIFA has been, you know, really trying to insert a manager mode there, because FIFA Manager didn't do too well, and they're trying to implement, you know, a kind of mode where you're both a manager and playing the game and having, you know, storylines and players and things like that, you know, incorporating stuff like that, but it doesn't seem like, you know, basketball companies are that interested in investing in. At least now I'm talking just about 2K, because EA hasn't given us a game in 3 years, so maybe, you know, Live 13 is going to be all about Dynasty
14,
which is going to be weird considering how successful my career has been, but, you know, it's their safe bet, you know, doing great things with Dynasty, because they're not that hard to do. You know, it's much easier making a great Dynasty mode than adding stuff like that, than adding great My Career gameplay, which, you know, 2K
well,
has
weird with
how-
2K, too, because they had College Hoops 2K8, which is the epitome of a great legacy Dynasty mode.
Yeah, and then they ruined it by going to... I know what you mean. I've seen videos about College Hoops 2K8, and, you know, stuff like, even those shows that recap the week...
Oh, yeah.
No, imagine
it was funny.
That.
I let my brother-in-law borrow that game. I didn't see him for like a month. He just stayed in his room playing it.
And have you... I know you hate the commentary, but have you actually, you know, spent any time having a game with it on to see how far it's progressed?
Oh, no. I only turned off the... I usually play with the commentary on. I only turned it off recently when I was recording videos.
Ah, okay. Because I thought you hated commentary even when not recording videos.
No, I usually keep it on.
Yeah, and it has progressed a lot, right?
Oh yeah,
the play-by-play commentary and all the stories that are being told during NBA 2K has, you know, I know they've gotten some help from, they must have gotten some help from the MLB 2K team, which is admittedly, even as much as you can hate MLB 2K for being a bad baseball game, it has admittedly one of the best commentaries in a sports game ever. So I know they've gotten a bit of help, because their commentary has gotten really great, and it's even better this year with all the discussing actually, you know, how players are doing, so you get a sense of accomplishment. And if you're a rookie in My Career, you know, you get a lot of mentions. They've made it a point of mentioning you a lot, a ridiculous amount, actually. But, you know, it's better than, you know, 2K12, where the commentating team didn't even realize you were on the floor.
But I like that, though.
Yeah, so...
why would they talk about me? I'm just a nobody.
Yeah, I know, but... Anyway, so it has... Presentation has progressed a lot, and commentary has progressed a lot. So imagine today's commentary with all the stuff that College Hoops did.
Oh,
you know, it would be amazing, and you know, it's not that hard to just preload all the players you need to show in a weekly recap. Just fake up a few highlights as if, you know, you have to show real highlights. Fuck that! Nobody is going to watch all the games and say, "Oh no, that didn't happen."
You know,
Just make up some highlights, preload all the players you're going to show, preload all the jerseys you're going to need for the weekly recap. Am I teaching 2K developers how to do their job? Just do that and do a weekly recap of, you know, showing the game results, important events, important trades. Have the commentators discuss trades. Please, finally, you know, give us a bit of a commentary on stuff like that. Major signings, trades. And, you know, have them do a weekly recap. How hard can that be?
Well, that requires actually doing something to association mode, so you tell me.
Yeah. I don't see, unless, you know, YouTube commentators, which seem, you know, are a big part of the culture, at least I believe so, from what I see, you know, I see them gaining a lot of momentum, a lot of popularity, and they're becoming a big part of the culture, and I think, yeah, the 2K brought some YouTube commentators over.
Yeah, they did.
And so if they start showing some love to association, you know, and doing all those association stories with make-believe events and stuff like that, maybe they'll get people interested in association. That's the only thing that's going to persuade 2K and EA to actually work on association. Now, when 2K put up that poll on which mode you wanted to see improved, my player demolished everything else. The only thing that was up to par with my player was crew, which is, you know, pretty much my player multiplayer.
Yep. And that's where ES, you know, I keep saying about NBA Live 13. I know I was the optimist with it, but I mean, the EA SBA would have blown anything 2K had out of the water.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. You've given me some really good food for thought, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's one question. Sorry, I was drinking some water. My mouth has gone dry.
Oh, mine's gone dry for...
Yeah, we are on 2 hours now. So, yeah, here's you not doing ever a 2.5-hour podcast.
End it now!
That was the one question. Do I treat my players as real people when I play association? And what's the other thing you want to talk about? I know you had a lot of things in mind, and I kept, you know, doing those monologues about how great my tools are.
Well, it's okay. I worked in the other question when you're talking about your tools, when I was asking you about stuff about combining my three leagues together. And
yeah.
And you know, a little bit just recently with the whole, you know, having the game managed externally and have it be entertaining that way.
Yeah.
I just think that, I don't know, it's different.
So are you going to try association with NBA Stats Tracker this year?
Yeah. I am. Well, it's going to be a YouTube
because
series.
You said you wanted to be able to export the box scores to a Dynasty Manager, and isn't that what the NBA Stats Tracker can do for you? What do you think? What else would you like to see? What is that Dynasty Manager?
I think you hit it.
Yeah?
I mean, the Dynasty Manager that I was thinking about is, like, you know, each little decision, like little mini games, like, you know, like having to talk to your players during the halftime, and that would give them a boost for, you know, the second half.
Well, that requires a trainer, but you do realize that whatever ideas you have that don't have to happen inside during an actual basketball game, we could actually make this job.
I know. And that's something that I wanted to talk to you about, because we can make it support NBA Live 08, we can make it support 2K, we can make it support anything that exports a box score, correct?
Yeah.
So,
and you know what,
Good.
John, have we actually thought of something brilliant here?
This is something I've been wanting to bring up to you for a while, but I keep burning you out with shit like the if files and... I need plating that I'll never use. I need reflections that I only use once.
I'm going to give you a parameter that's the only thing that's certain right now. When August comes, I no longer have time for anything. If not August, October.
I know.
So whatever happens needs to happen before that. And I feel that right now, during this talk, and just so everybody knows, we were talking for an hour before we started the recording. The Skype call is now at 3 hours.
Seriously, so, trials, man.
Yeah, trials. We have been playing trials as long as we've been chatting. Yeah, that much is true. And so this is a brilliant idea. We could, you know, based on NBA stats tracker, and it's, you know, detecting box scores and being able to affect stats and having direct access to the ratings and to the injuries. And, you know, injuries can be said to personal reasons and suspensions and stuff like that. We could make a game outside the game.
Yes, I would love this.
We could make a basketball manager that uses NBA 2K or NBA Live as a game engine, but then we could give, you know, storylines and have players come up to the coach and ask for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do would affect their ratings, their morale, what they think of their contracts, since all that stuff is edited up through our editor, but nobody edits it.
Yeah.
Nobody has any reason to edit the morale or contract thoughts unless they want to cheat and keep a player that wants to leave.
I would love it. I would.
We can make, you know, an actual game of our own and make it so you are the GM, your decisions matter, do everything that 2K and DA haven't done.
And this is something that I talked to, I think it was Big Hort about. I know he's come up recently, he's come back. But this is something that I talked about with him about doing an Excel sheet that could do this stuff, I believe, back when we were doing Sum 07.
Yeah.
But I would love to try to plan this out with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everyone in the community could have some kind of say in it and say, oh, I love this part, I love this part.
Yeah, especially, you know, people doing Dynasty stories.
Oh, yeah.
Get some great, 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 amazing feedback. Hey, and suggestions about, you know, what events should be happening, what random events should be happening, based on what criteria, what should the choices affect, you know, which aspects of the players and the teams. You know, we could have, you know, players come into your office as a GM, and if you mistreat them, if they're not playing, you know, enough, they could, you know, request trades, and we could do that by making them miss games by, you know, injuries for personal reasons, and then have their morale be at zero.
And have people just be walk off a team.
Yeah.
And just say, screw it, I want to be bought out of my contract.
That's
amazing. You know what you could do? Oh my God, this is something that I was going to talk about in a video, but I'm just going to spoil it now. Did you hear about Jeff Green's contract?
No.
Jeff Green's contract, it was a story a couple weeks ago, has a $1 million incentive if he reaches a certain rebounding mark.
Ah, that's been done in soccer for years, you know? Incentives,
but never
after
in NBA, and it's not in association mode.
What?
But never, that's not in any NBA game.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you know, I didn't know that was a thing in basketball at all. I'm just saying that football, soccer contracts for our people in the US, soccer contracts have had these kind of clauses for a long time, you know. The player is going to get that much money after he scores that many goals, or after he makes that many appearances with his national team, or that much money after he makes that many assists, or that much money.
We do national team stuff too.
If we win the championship. That much money if we win the championship, and he can leave the team with that much money if we get relegated. You know, all these kinds of advanced clauses that can't be simulated in the game now, but can be simulated if we create something that simulates them outside the game, you know, between games.
We could do stuff with multiple leagues. There are different divisions in the same league, like my all-pro basketball thing. We could, with relegation, we could do stuff with just a generically. We do stuff with friggin' NCAA. We could do
just
stuff
just replace
with
all
school.
The classic teams with a supposed D league, or, you know, a second tier league where teams can be relegated to, and
you know what? And since you can affect outcomes,
well, of course,
now,
the second tier league will have
29 game seasons.
What?
You remember before the Bobcats and stuff? Have actual seasons progress without the need of the expansion teams.
I'm losing you now.
Can't we edit the schedule and everything now after the season started?
I don't know. Can we?
And then we just straight up delete the Bobcats or whatever for the classic things. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure how the schedule stub works with this year's editor. I haven't talked with Vlad about it. If you have talked with him about it.
No.
So last year, how it was, you could only affect the base schedule that the game uses to calculate. It is the first season schedule as is, and then the game uses that to calculate the schedule of Season 2, Season 3, and later on. Only the first season schedule is predetermined, and that's there, you know, to have the actual, real NBA schedule in for the first year. And that's why I made Schedule Randomizer, because I started my association back before there was Roster Merge. And that's another use of what Roster Merge was last year and what Roster Workshop is going to be. You know, when new rosters come out and they had new ratings, better gear, new tendencies, new contracts and stuff like that, if you had already started an association, the only way to get that stuff was to restart.
Yep.
And Roster Workshop allows you to get updated things in the middle of your association. So, but before the Roster Merge, I had to restart my association over and over whenever a new great roster came out. So I was tired of playing the same 10 teams at the start of the season. So I know I made a tool that could randomize the schedule, but if we can actually edit the schedule after the association has started, yeah, we could do stuff like that, but it all depends on, you know, if Vlad has decoded that. If not, we can still do, you know, all the rest of the stuff. The possibilities are endless. I'm going to lose my summer holidays if I start working on that. There's so much stuff that can be done, you know, all those random events and all those calculations that trigger those events.
Would you want to do that, though? Does that sound cool to you? Does that sound fun?
Of course it does. I did my first association story this past summer. Of course, a program that creates a storyline for me would be great, and that creates random events that I have to handle. I wished, you know, that things that people have requested, such as, you know, why is not Meet the GM in association? Why aren't players coming to you requesting stuff? And we should have that.
I wish we could change the user team so you can get fired from one team and have to take over another team.
Yeah, but that can't be done through the editor as far as I know. The which team you're handling value isn't there, but we could tell the user you have been fired, so please resign from your position. You have to choose a new team, and these are the only teams that are interested in you because of how you fared.
I'm just thinking about what made College Hoops so friggin' awesome. That was part of it.
You do know that we have to listen back to all that we've talked about. We have to consult everyone that has ever done an association story and make a huge to-do list.
Oh, yeah.
Have we started the craziest and biggest project ever undertaken?
You heard it here first, people.
Oh, my God. This just to clarify, this wasn't planned.
No.
We weren't discussing about it before the recording and said, hey, here what's going to be cool. We're going to act as if suddenly we realized this great idea. I had no idea you were thinking of something like that. And I hadn't...
I've been thinking about this for years, dude. I'm serious. This is something that has been around in my head since 507. I didn't think anyone else would give a crap. And then I'm talking to you about, you know, YouTube commentators, and you're telling me stuff I need to hear.
You know, John, this is exactly why we should be doing these long talks.
I know.
Thank God for Trials on PC, man.
Thank God
for the time you're going to devote playing Trials and the time I'm going to have to talk to you.
You know what? You know what's going to happen is that on Tuesday when SimCity comes out, we're going to have to do this again.
But I don't think I'll be able to buy SimCity. It's just too much money to
pay. That's fine. You don't need to. You can play Trials. I'll play SimCity, and you'll have me here talking to you.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm definitely looking forward. But here's the question. Here's the million-dollar question.
Yep.
How the fuck are we going to take a break from Trials and SimCity to actually program this thing?
Well, that's your problem.
Fuck you! It's not my problem. You're going to be with me on every step of this.
I am.
It's either a joint project or it's no project. I'm not going to undertake something so huge by myself. I did it once, and it was my thesis.
I would never ask or expect you to. Okay. And I think that between you and me discussing it and. I think it's possible, but remember how available I am now. And this is only going to get worse as I hopefully go to grad school. If I don't go to grad school, I have to get full-time work.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to join either PhD or full-time work as well. So I start in August. So we both have... it's a big project that has 5 months.
Yeah.
To complete itself. But...
All we need to do is just think about the easy, sleazy way to do it. That's what we need to figure out.
Yeah.
And then, because right now we can think of this big, long, dramatic thing that competes with Football Manager that we could sell on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just think of a spreadsheet that says, a wild dragon has appeared, and now this player doesn't like you anymore. I mean, like...
Here is John thinking the way I taught him to think while doing the pro wrestling exit. Start small, build outwards. Now, what's the first thing we could do? Have a random injuries when you start an association, not have, all players be free from injuries. Of course, roster merge is going to make it piece easy for you to transfer the real injuries.
I did a video tutorial doing that with the roster editor.
Yeah, I know, but it's going to be even easier because when you do an association, the draft class players get created.
Yeah, that's true.
So copying the whole columns and not doing a CFID match. I was expecting you to do a CFID and not an ID match.
You know what I think we could do?
But just for a second, roster merge is going to make that piece easy. But what we could, the first thing, the most simple thing that we could do as a start for this, whatever we decide to call it, a cool name at least.
If I
was beautiful, it's a really good game. It's a really good name, isn't it?
It is. I look at that thing every time I load it up. I'm like, why didn't we release this?
Yeah. Just for the name. Just for the name of it. And people don't know. Is it in the developer diary that we had the message, and your boobs are nice?
Probably.
In the pro-wrestling exit. So, your boobs are nice.
Successful and your boobs are nice.
Yeah. That never got in the final product, but yeah. It was in during the whole development process, and it was so nice to see every time. So the first thing...
smile every time. I saw your face.
Yeah. Me too. The first thing we could do, in this new project is just based on the player's morale, we can have players, besides random injuries at the start of the association, because people want the real injuries, but then they don't realize that they're starting at the start of the season. We can have random injuries at the start of the season, and we can have players, if their morale is terrible, we can have players randomly missing games for personal reasons.
Leftos, we can do the one, my number one most requested thing fucking ever. We can do it. When a player has a major injury, they come back with a fucking accessory.
What? Ah, yes, that makes sense.
So when Derrick Rose comes back, he has the knees.
Yeah, base the accessories on the kind of injury.
Finally!
Yeah, that makes sense. I always did that manually. I always added braces and... whatever they call them, sleeves and stuff to players that got injured. But, you know, I just took care of my team while this could take care of every player. So, you know, you could see a player wear a sleeve and you could go back and see, oh, he got injured, you know. So that's why he's wearing that.
Now, here's my question for you. This is,
and
this
after a while, they removed those accessories.
Now, we're going beyond tool development here. This is infringing on a game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, John.
Why don't you sell this? Why don't you turn this into a project you can put on Steam? Well, I mean, I know, start small, get bigger.
Who says we can't in the end?
Well, it'll depend on 2K, and you can't do that.
Yeah, of course. It's going to depend on 2K, and if we edit EA games, EA files as well, it's going to depend on EA, and we'd be better off, you know. And 2K is never going to have that as a separate game, but it will get, if we can get traction and attention, it's going to get the company's attention. So maybe, you know, we'll be able to sell it to them.
You get me in a producer role, I will do anything you want.
you do realize that if the logic is there, and 2K, for example, take 2K for example, maybe they haven't bothered to even think of stuff like that. Or maybe some developer has thought of them, but he isn't allowed to write them in code because management has different priorities, marketing has different priorities, right?
Yeah.
So if we do this and it gets traction and gets people interested, the companies are going to have their code ready for them. So even if we don't manage to sell this, we're just giving stuff to the companies that make the games that we love that they can use directly, or at least the logic, you know. If the player got injured and the type of injury is that, add that accessory. Even if they have every developer working on other stuff, we're giving them stuff that they can directly use to improve the games. They don't have to spend too much time thinking of them, imagining them.
I know. Can we do this?
Of course we can. We can edit, we can judge players on everything that Redditor gives us, and everything that we can calculate based on NBA Stats Tracker as far as stats go, and then we can, for example, okay, this is a good thing. You know how contracts are only based on overall and not performance?
Yeah.
We can have players supposedly requesting bigger contracts than what the game shows by editing them, you know, after the fact, based on a player's performance. Get that information out of NBA Stats Tracker.
Yeah.
And have those contracts depend on how big market is the team or small market, how much money spent on other players of that team. You know, maybe a player says, he's making that much money, match my contract to his or I'm leaving.
We could do, this is a bottomless pit, man.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid I'm going to have no social life starting whenever the first day of this project is.
Well, today.
Fuck me. I want to finish Roster Workshop first. Can I do that?
Can
I finish Roster Workshop? I'm working on features you want, man. Today, all I've done is add jerseys and start working on selecting a team to replace another. Rather than have the teams merge, I'm adding teams replacing other teams, which are two things that you asked for, plus other things that I wanted to do, stuff that automations that I've told Vlad that he should do, but he doesn't have the time to put in the first version. You know, repair tools.
Yeah.
ASAID, PLNAM, contract years, free agents having contracts or players being free agents when they shouldn't, and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Once I finish Roster Workshop, if you see the to-do list I have, for Roster Workshop it's just one thing. It's one thing left and I'm ready. All it takes is for Redditor to get to the point where you can save files so that I can test the changes in-game. And then we're ready. We can release Roster Workshop the day Redditor is released. Once that finishes, what else do I have in mind? Nothing to do on the roster editor. I've given up on adding new things, but 2-7 from Operation Sports, weirdly, has been working hard on adding new things. I don't mind that. He can go ahead. That's why my tools are open source. He knows some Java. He knows some C++. So he's adding things directly to the editor.
Oh, that's awesome. I was going to ask you about that. I was like, wait, you added something. What'd he do?
Yeah.
What did he do that I don't do?
He actually coded the thing in. All I did was clean up his code because there are things that I know how to do because I've worked on this for so many months, and he had to assume worked a certain way. So I just cleaned it up, but it does the same thing. So, yeah, I'm not working on Rosetta Editor. HexonSearch has no to-do list. I've done all I wanted to do with that. It's up to Sonjon to get a good global profile going so that everyone can create light.
And to be honest, you're talking about the floats and integers and everything else and working in the same column. Yeah. Not really that needed.
Yeah, exactly. I'm seeing no major points. Roster workshop is only one thing I need to do, and then I'm free to work. There's no other project going on right now. I mean, I have a huge list for NBA Subtracker, but that thing has already so much stuff in it that I can give up on working on it for a few months, and it's going to be completely gay.
What the hell?
Just the sheer stuff I've added for association stories lately. I've added stuff that's really focused on that. I mean, besides, you know, your own metrics and advanced stats calculator, I've added stuff that each time you import from Redditor, it gives you a transactions report, which players got signed to what contracts, to what teams, which players got traded, which players got waived, a detailed report that's very easier to navigate, much easier to navigate than the in-game report. It gives you an injury report, which player got returned from injury, which player got injured, for how long, which player got re-injured, all that kind of stuff, you know? So I don't need to work on NBA Subtracker. I can put that aside. So after I finish Roster Workshop tomorrow, we can start working. And pretty much, you're going to get a divorce and never get never see your daughter again. I'm never going to have a social life, and I'll forget to get to my PhD on time and lose that. But we're probably going to be big sellouts in a couple of years and just, you know, retire at 25 or however old you are.
And right now.
Okay, so 20, you're going to be 28, I'm going to be 25, and we're going to be in Hawaii drinking tequilas all day, enjoying our retirement and our fat stack of cars that we
and water.
Yeah.
And I think water. I just thought of the name.
What?
Just Ball. It's not great. But just because you can just play, you don't have to deal with all this, you know.
But the point is that you're not going to just ball anymore. You're going to have to deal with so much more stuff. So it's kind of you know.
No, that's right. You're making good point.
Just balling is what you're doing right now.
I know.
What people want to do, what we want people to do using this is have another whole level of experience. But the title is important, you know, getting down the first few things that we want to do and that we can do that aren't, you know, two big ideas that need a lot of working and editing and stuff like that, but, you know, the basic things, like accessories after injuries, like you said, or, you know, players that have really low morale getting those personal reasons injuries for a couple of days and not going to practice in games, missing games, or players, you know, small stuff. We can start with small stuff and, you know, have it grow. I know, you know, we can get, even if we don't get directly in touch with the people writing the stories, we can get so many ideas from the stories themselves.
No, well, that, but also the people who are in that forum are the most active people on the forum. They will give us their ideas.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I have one limitation, okay?
Yeah.
The one thing I've seen repeated too many times that I refuse to have in this project is people fucking dying.
What?
Too many times I have seen stories where people are like, oh my god, there was a car crash, so now I should put all these.
That. What the fuck is up with that?
You haven't seen that?
I have seen that. And
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
You're going to have a random event occurring and you're going to have the player die in a fucking car crash?
Just because you don't want him on your team? or you have this Dios.
You couldn't think of anything better than that?
It's uncreative, and it's bad for you.
Well, at least we don't have players being arrested for beating up their girlfriends.
Yeah, we don't need to do that either. We can have be arrest, or, you know, just don't say what the arrest is for, but if they have...
Or the usual thing that all NBA players are arrested for DUI.
Well, I was going to say, because we get into trouble for, like, slander and stuff if a certain player's criteria always makes them get arrested.
I'm just going to hard-code it as an Easter egg, and Dwight Howard is going to be a therapy player. No matter how you play your association, Dwight Howard gets in all kinds of trouble, ends up being a terrible player and entering the Hall of Shame.
And then you're going to finally let me get my hands on the source code, and oh, look at that, Andre Drummond becomes that.
Fuck you. You do know that whoever touches it, in the way, I haven't really gotten you into Git, but once you get used to using Git, because for some reason, for whatever reason, we couldn't set it up on your computer, you kept complaining, but if you set it up and you contribute things, you can then go to the web interface or, you know, in your computer and see which person did exactly which edit.
Yeah, you're telling me about that.
It's called the blame feature.
The blame feature?
Yeah, yeah.
You're telling me that?
It's actually called that. You know, besides, what I told you was whenever I commit work, whenever I do a commit, it shows up in a history, okay? So it's like a change log. You know, all the times that I said, okay, now I want to commit my code, I'm done with working on one thing, I'm going to put a note on it, and it knows, it keeps track of all the changes I did. So when you get in, you can see, oh, okay, he changed that, he changed that, he changed that. Blame, on the other hand, shows you the complete file rather than just the changes, and says, this section was written by that person. This section was last updated by that person. So it shows you each part of the file and who is to blame for that part of the file being like that. So I don't even have to look through the commits. If I see a certain... If I go to that file and see Andrew Drummond and see that you are to blame for that part of the code, I'm coming over to Vermont and killing you. And this is not going to be part of an association story. This is going to be part of the Vermont Sun or whatever.
The Vermont Sun. Oh my god, we don't even have newspapers, bro.
I stole that from Amy Poehler for the Pony Sun in Parks and Recreation.
Oh my god.
I you know, it's weird how all this time that I've been doing NBA Stats Tracker, I keep getting ideas for it at the weirdest moment. I haven't, you know, if you look at the... remember how when we were chatting and I told you I have stopped putting dates on the changelog and it's so disappointing not to know when I release stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that all the story of the development of NBA Stats Tracker can be told by just looking at the Git history for it, you know, the commit history. Every single piece of work that I did is in there with a date, and I never really stopped working on it unless I was really studying to get my degree. So from May to from February to now, there's only been small breaks, and you can always see me working on stuff, and I just have never run out of ideas. My to-do list gets bigger before it gets smaller. I always think of more stuff before I can finish doing the things that I had in mind. If I didn't work on roster editor, if I didn't work on Hexon steroids, if I didn't work on roster workshop, maybe I would have a completely empty to-do list. I would do all the things I want to do on NBA Stats Tracker, but I need those other projects because I use them for myself, for my experience, and I need them to take my mind off, you know? To work on different things and get my mind off NBA Stats Tracker as much as I love it. So it's weird that I get ideas at the weirdest places. For example, I have my bed next to it has a huge plushy bear, a stuffed bear that I use as a bedstand. I don't have a bedstand, but I use that as a bedstand, and I always keep a notepad on it so I can keep notes of ideas that I get in my sleep. And I don't want to forget them until the next morning, because back when I didn't note them down, I kept forgetting, and it's not the first time this has happened. I had that thing happen to me, you know, ideas coming in my sleep and me having to keep a notepad next to my bed during some assignments during my undergraduate studies that I was really passionate about. But it keeps happening for NBA Star Striker. It's not just during my sleep. I keep getting ideas at the weirdest places. I'm playing basketball with my mate. I get an idea. So I tell him to take a break as I run to my cell phone to make a note of my idea, because I don't want to forget it. I was in a fucking concert the other day, and I got an idea about NBA Star Striker, and I missed a whole song because I was thinking about how to implement it. I'm fucking sick, man.
You are. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, that's why NBA Star Striker to-do list never gets smaller. I just keep getting ideas. I always think that, okay, I've implemented this, there's nothing more to do. What else are you going to analyze stats for? And it just keeps getting bigger. It never stops getting bigger. I get all those ideas about what to do. So that's exactly the reason that a project like the project we've been discussing today scares me.
It's not going to end.
Yeah, it's my...
You know what that means we got to do, though?
My brain processing power is going to be split into thinking of ideas on how to analyze stats and then thinking of ideas on how to enhance the manager experience for NBA.
Okay. Think about it like this, though.
Yeah.
Why is Trials so great?
For me, Trials is great because you can just pick it up, play for a while. It has short tracks, which you can replay time and time again. And my favorite thing is four-person local multiplayer. That's the best thing ever.
Okay, well, that's not why Trials is great.
Okay, you tell me.
Trials is great because of the same reason Little Big Planet is great. The people who made the game...
Ah, yes, I was making that point.
...use the same tools.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the best way to develop this tool...
Trials is great because for the same reason Minecraft is great.
Right. So I think that the best way to make this tool is to lay out the groundwork and then release it so that people can have their own set of rules and whatnot that they have to abide by, their own random encounters with the injuries.
Yeah, of course we're going to make it fully adjustable. Whatever we think of that can happen, we'll make...
If we're going to limit death and shit like that, I mean, we'll have career-ending injuries.
No. We're not going to limit that. We're not going to put it in. Let me give you an example of how...
No, that's a good idea. If you let people do it, they can do it.
No. Let me explain how we're going to do this. Remember how NBATK speech recognition worked when I made it, how it had a preset set of commands, but you could edit them and add your own.
Yes.
So, for example, random events ending in injuries, okay? We'll have a feature like that. And we'll have a preset amount of random events so that when a user just downloads the tool, doesn't want to mess with it, doesn't want to think of stuff, we'll give him a good base. A good base of a number of random events that's going to be enough in order not to be repetitive, and a good number of possible injuries tied to each event. And based on the severity of the event, thus the severity of the injury. But we're going to make it adjustable, so just like NBATK speech recognition, just like Hicks on steroids, if they want, they can add their own random events and tie injuries to those events.
And we can have them do if, you know, someone's, age gets too high, then this rating can happen with this much probability.
Yeah, of course.
Or this event can happen.
But all this, because if it's just going to be you and me and, you know, feedback from the community, again, it's just two people having a limited set of ideas. So whatever we do, is going to be there for people when they download and install it, so they can, you know, just open it up, run it, have a good experience. But it's going to be fully adjustable behind the scenes.
Right.
If we can add something, the user will be able to add more to that. If we add a random event with a certain amount of criteria that ends in a certain amount of possibilities, the user will be able to add the event, the criteria, the possibilities.
Did we just turn this podcast into a dev diary?
This is going to be the greatest idea ever thought of, you know, for the NBA 2K. This is what probably everyone wanted to have in their game if their association freaks. And they couldn't. They've been asking 2K to do. And I'm just baffled at why I haven't thought of that.
Like, but I said, guess this that's is something why that I have those I have,
three, that's why I have those 3-hour talks with you.
I was going to do this in NBA Live 07, and we couldn't get the spreadsheet worked out, and I said fuck it, because it was NBA Live 07. This time we have a great playing game. It could possibly be the last PC game. So I mean, Yeah, man.
This is a big moment.
We should try to incorporate the craft name into it, so Ballcraft.
Bulk.
How to get sued.
Yeah. 101. Ballcraft. Balls. Just balls. Yeah, just I think ball. It was.
John, episode. Do you have something on your mind?
Just balls. I think it was episode 18 where, without realizing, I said balls too many times, and how Andrew says, let's think of a sport of our own, and I go, okay, what do I like? Ball. I like balls. And that moment I freeze, and in my, and you know how your mind can react to stuff really fast and think stuff in like that, you know, in the split of a second.
Yep.
That moment, before my face even froze, my mind was already thinking, what the fuck did you just say?
You know what, I'm gonna tell you something, you're gonna love this. when I was playing basketball last night, one of the high school kids came up to me and said, asked me what other sports I like. And I responded with, I like basketball and golf. You know, just something about sticking a ball inside of a cylinder. I just love it.
Sticking a ball inside of a cylinder. I like putting my balls in, man. Well, what can I tell you? I like putting it in. I like seeing it slowly drop and slip in.
Okay, you know what? That's enough. And too many people are quitting on me in multiplayer. And I need to take a shit rude. Like no one's business.
Okay, so, okay.
I won't take the iPod in with me. But, Oh, man. We will talk more about this project and the ruination of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know all about John Stivers on the Vermont Sun.
Vermont fucking Sun. I love it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we have been... This Skype call has been going on for almost 4 hours. This podcast is going to be 2 hours and 40 minutes long, so
Never again. You'll never get this from me again.
Yeah, except on Tuesday, and then the next time you play SimCity or Trials, and then the next time, until August. Yeah, so never again, probably.
And, you know, and I'm just saying this, if you don't mind a baby crying in the background, we might be able to get this more often.
You should be minding that your baby's crying in the background, you fucking monster.
My wife's there. But okay, it's 8 o'clock for me. I didn't eat dinner. I'm going downstairs.
It's 3:11 a.m. for me. What are you talking about?
Go to sleep.
Yeah. Okay, so it's been great fun. It went much better than I thought. I'm really sad that all of you didn't get to hear the first hour of Arn Corvin's session. It was just as interesting. And I was really glad it went, you know, it all resulted in a big idea that's going to fucking keep me awake for the next months. I'm going to hate you for this, you know that?
I'm sorry. Happy March.
Happy March, everybody, yeah. It's officially March 1st here in Greece, so you're going to get that in a few hours. Anyway, so this was Ming Leftos, and that was that guy from Vermont that has no newspapers.
Jaus Ming.
Jaus Ming.
We'll subscribe see you when to me on YouTube.
Yeah, subscribe to him on YouTube. YouTube.com/Jaus Ming. You can,
Fly, watch those jiggles roll, baby.
Yeah. If you've been dreaming of seeing Jaus Ming topless, that's your chance. Those videos aren't going to be there once YouTube realizes this is hardcore, strong, explicit pornography. So get them while they're hot, those jiggles. Until next time.
Until next time, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.